We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
In the event of a zombie apocalypse, I would go to Walmart. That's where all the food is, man.
At the start of a zombie apocalypse, the first place I would go would be away from big cities.
I would find my children.
Directly to the Straits of Magellan, because it's tricky to get into and very little known about it.
I would go to the dentist office because nobody goes to the dentist, and I would be safe there.
I would head for a water source where, like the coast, where there would be transportation. You could signal others. You could easily escape by water or by land and have some water to drink.
I have no idea where I would go. I need to come up with a plan fast.
If I were in a zombie outbreak, I would go to the Compass Bank Tower at Coit and Arapahoe because of the fact that it's tall and there's lots of places to protect yourself.
Gather my family because I want my family close by. I need a lot of support.
We'd probably go to the woods because that seems like the place everybody goes, you know, go hide in the woods.
Kuala Lumpur. There have never been any incidents of zombie activity in Kuala Lumpur.
I would run straight to the church and to the altar, and I'd be praying in Jesus' name to cover me and defend me against all the works of darkness.
Let's open in prayer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together in your house, and thank you for your word. Lord God, help me to present this message effectively and clearly, and let us receive it in our hearts, all to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good afternoon. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm glad to see you all in the house of God today.
Yeah.
I'd like to start off with a story. I came to Redemption Church about 6 years ago, a little over 6 years. And when I first started attending here, Chris and Scott invited me to come to Connect Group. And from my church background, I wasn't really used to a midweek church service or a house church type environment. So I was a little reluctant, but they told me, no, it's a lot of fun. We get together every week, and there's free food, and that can get me to go just about anywhere. So I said, all right. I guess I'll give it a shot. And then Chris even said, hey, I'll do you one better. I'll give you a ride. Since you probably don't know where it's at, I'll come pick you up and take you to the first one. So, okay, that was very nice of him. I was still a little apprehensive. This was a new thing to me. But Chris showed up, and we started driving to my first Connect group. And on the way, we started talking about horror movies. And then the conversation naturally progressed to zombies. Like it usually does.
Yes.
Well, that's when I knew that Redemption Church was different. Here I was with the worship pastor talking about zombies.
Yeah.
I bring this up, A, because it illustrates God can use all things for good.
Yes.
But also because it shows zombies can bring people together. Sure, you can clap for that. Well, that's what we're talking about this month, is the living dead. Hopefully, you were able to catch Pastor Robert's sermon last week. It was really great. If you missed it, you can see it online. He told us how to recognize a zombie, how to identify a zombie. Now, I want to make clear, we're talking about spiritual zombies, not necessarily the Hollywood version that look all decayed and are still walking around. We're talking about spiritual zombies that are dead to Christ, yet still alive in their body. As it says in the book of Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but rather against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's what we're talking about. Robert described them last week as being twice dead. They're living, but dead at the same time. And in a way, I think we can identify with that. I know I can. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all of our sins." Amen? Amen. So we're alive. We're alive in Christ. We want to stay that way. We're surrounded by zombies. We need to know how to survive. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. How to survive in a zombie apocalypse. Zombies are a popular topic nowadays. It's all over the culture. It's on TV and in movies. It's in the news. And a lot of times when people are talking about zombies, talking about the living dead, they're talking about zombie survival. For instance, the Centers for Disease Control, the actual government agency, earlier this year issued guidelines for how to get prepared for a zombie apocalypse. Yeah, the government spent money on dumber things. But apparently they think you need to know how to be prepared in the case of zombies. Furthermore, in San Diego at the end of this month, so mark your calendars, there's going to be a counterterrorism summit that it's usually attended by people from different branches of the military, as well as police officers and law enforcement officials. And this year's counterterrorism summit is advertised to include a realistic zombie apocalypse simulation. You can even go on Amazon. I went on there. If you look up zombies, there's thousands of books. So I narrowed it down, put in zombie survival. There's still over 300 books on zombie survival. So that can be a lot of information. But you're in luck. I want you to know I have looked through the top 66 books pertaining to zombie survival. And today, I'm going to make it easy for you. I've got the top 3 tips for surviving in a zombie outbreak. All right, you ready? Well, let me preface one more thing. This is not a new phenomenon. This is not going to happen at some point in the future. It's not, the zombie apocalypse isn't going to happen in December to fulfill the Mayan calendar. It's not going to happen this week. It's already happened. Pastor Robert, last week, he talked about Jesus. He had to deal with some zombies. The Pharisees looked all right on the outside, but they were full of dead men's bones. So this has been going on at least since Jesus' time. So a lot of information about zombie survival is how to get prepared for it, how to be ready. You got to stock up on canned goods and ammo and batteries. We're already in the middle of it. So my tips are going to be how to survive now, today, in the middle of this zombie world. All right, tip 1. It can seem sort of obvious. Stay in the light. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
Now, stay in the light. Don't go into the darkness. Stick with me. They're not all this easy. You may be saying, oh, that's great. What else? Don't get bitten? That's number 2. Don't get ahead of me. Step 1, stay in the light. In horror movies, there's always a scene where one of the characters hears a noise out in the woods, out in some dark place, or down in the basement, and they say, I heard a noise. I wonder what that is. I better go down there. And meanwhile, the audience is all thinking to themselves, no, what are you doing? Don't go down there. But they do, and then the monster, the zombie, gets them. It's staying in the light seems intuitively obvious to us when it's not us, when we're looking at somebody else. It seems obvious, but we don't ever do it. Zombies like the darkness.
That's why we need to stay out of there. Here's a description from the book of Job. It's in Job 24, starting with verse 13. Tell me if this sounds like a zombie to you. There are those who rebel against the light, who do not know its ways or stay in its paths. The eye of the adulterer watches for dusk. He thinks, no eye will see me, and he keeps his face concealed. For all of them, deep darkness is their mourning. They make friends with the terrors of the darkness. The darkness is the place for the zombies. If you go into the darkness, you're putting yourself at risk. Now, instead, we're described more by 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. It says, you are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We need to stay in the light. Now, what do I mean? What am I talking about? Well, there's different places and different situations in all of our lives that can lead us to a dark place. For some, it may be a certain place. I know whenever I go to this place, I get into trouble. Whenever I go over there, I do things that I'm ashamed of. Or it could be a certain group of people. Whenever I hang out with them, man, I always get myself into trouble. I always wind up in a situation that I don't want to be in. Don't stay in the light. Don't go into the darkness. It's different for each person. But we have to pay attention to our surroundings. We have to stay in the light. Here's a quick tip. The Bible, Pastor Scott mentioned it earlier today. In Psalms, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. If the word of God isn't lighting your way into a situation, don't go there.
Don't go there. That's good preaching.
That's that voice of the audience saying, no, don't go down there. Stay in the light.
Amen.
Stay out of trouble, because you put yourself in danger when you go into the dark. We don't want to be to make friends with the terrors of the darkness. But the darkness, it can be a physical place. It can be people, it can be a certain circumstance that we find ourselves in. Or it can just be a condition of your heart.
Yeah.
1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother lives in the light. And there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them.
Right.
We can often get blinded when we don't live according to God's word. Things can blind us. Hatred, judgment.
Yeah.
When we seek after things other than God, it can blind us to what's really going on around us. And that's when the enemy can sneak up on you. We got to stay in the light so we can see what's going on. We can see when we're about to be attacked. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, it says, it encourages us. It says, the night is almost over. It will be daylight soon. Let us give up the things we prefer to do under the cover of darkness, and let us arm ourselves and appear in the light. That's a good word.
Yeah.
It leads to my second tip for zombie survival. Now, I've tried to make these concise so you can commit them to memory and apply them to your life. All right? So, tip number two. Keep this in mind at all times. Sleep in your clothes.
That's good.
Did you know that that's scriptural? That's why my clothes are so wrinkly today. No, that part is not true. But this actually kind of is in the Bible. But instead, it might make a little bit more sense if we say, be ready. Be ready. Always be ready. Zombies can come at you at any time. You know they're out there. So be ready. In movies, I tend to be a fan of horror movies, in case you hadn't noticed. But in movies, there's always a scene where somebody's running from a monster, and they get to their house. They shut the door behind them, and I'm safe. And that's when it gets them.
Yeah, every time.
Or people make a camp. They clear out. There's no zombies here. And we're safe. Yeah. I'm going to take a nap. Yeah. And then there's that one that they missed. Yeah. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, describes a similar situation. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape.
Right.
Oh man, that's kind of harsh. That sounds bad. Now, I want to be clear. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace.
Right.
I'm not saying you can't ever relax. God wants us to be at peace, to have peace in our heart.
Amen.
But we should still be aware that there's danger around. We should be aware of the danger that's coming at us. So, that same part of Scripture continues in verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate,
yes,
and the hope of salvation as a helmet.
Yes.
All right. So it starts talking about what you wear. Okay? Back to the zombie movies. In the movies, zombies wear all kind of clothes. You'll see some in a business suit, and then there'll be one in t-shirt and shorts. And then there'll be the weird ones. There'll be one in a tuxedo or a bride's dress. The extra creepy ones, yes. There'll be one in a hospital gown. Or there might be one in a bathrobe. Because the zombies, when they attack you, you're wearing whatever you're wearing. And then if they turn you into a zombie, that's what you're going to be walking around in. If you want to be prepared, you got to put something on to protect yourself.
That's good.
Thank you, Chris. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17 describe what we need to put on to protect ourselves. It says, put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
All right? It talks about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod in the gospel. Take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword that is the word of God. If you know something's out there that's trying to devour you, that's going to attack you, put on armor. These are aspects of our faith that we need to be putting on daily to protect ourselves from the attacks that come at us. Notice, it says, put on the whole armor of God. It instructs us to put them on. Nowhere in the Bible, it never says take them off. That's the clothes you need to be sleeping in. When you get up in the morning, you need to check and make sure everything's in place. Because that's what's going to protect us. Another way to be prepared. That same passage touches on this. You need to arm yourself. There's a lot of discussion about what's the best weapon to use against zombies. Some people say a gun. That's the natural thing. But you got to have good aim. What about a shotgun? Either one. You run out of ammo. No good. What about a chainsaw? Runs out of fuel and it's messy. So, baseball bat. How about a sword?
Yes.
doesn't run out of ammo. You can carry it with you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God that speaks is alive and active. It cuts more keenly than any two-edged sword. That's the sword we need to keep with us. Amen? Amen. This is our weapon. My study Bible, it's almost a weapon in and of itself. But that's not what it's talking about. This is how we defend ourselves with the Word of God. It's powerful. We need to keep it with us. Now, you can get smaller versions than this and keep a copy in your pocket at all times. You can put one in your desk and in your glove compartment. But that's not exactly what it's talking about. We need to keep it with us as a part of us. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to make it a part of our lives. We need to understand it and process it so we always have it with us to draw on in times of need. That's how we be prepared. That's how we defend ourselves. We need the Word of God. And another part of the spiritual armor of God that it mentions but doesn't seem much like armor, I want to return to it. In fact, let me read it to you from the Amplified version of the Bible. It says, "And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace." You got to take care of your feet. You need to have your feet ready, because when surrounded by zombies, you're going to be running. In fact, that's my third point. Keep moving. Zombies tend to be slow, so we have the advantage that we can move quick.
Amen.
Well, a classic mistake that people always make in these horror movies, they always get to a place and stop. They get to a house. They find a house out in the field, and they go inside, and they bar the door, and they board up all the windows, and they check, they clean it out, they make sure everything's safe inside, and then they say, okay, we're good. We're going to stop here. We're set. We're protected. We're safe. But it never works out. There's always some weakness. There's some point at which the zombies can get in. And so the zombies break through the first barrier. So the people pull back into a room, and they fortify that room. The zombies get in there. They keep pulling back until they don't have anywhere else to go. They're in a corner, and then they're doomed. The unfortunate thing is, and Robert mentioned it last week, some churches do that. Some churches get their congregation together, and then they lock the doors, and they say, hey, we're good. In here, we're good with Christ. No sin in here. We're safe. And we're going to keep all the sinful people out there. That's not the way to do it. Because sin will find a way in. It'll creep in. You're not safe when you become complacent with where you're at in your faith. You got to keep moving. Amen. In fact, that model of church, when you block out the world, that's not what the church is supposed to be. Paul, in the book of Acts, he was describing the church, and he says, this was not done in a corner. He went out into the world. They were often running for their lives, but everywhere they went, they were sharing the gospel. They were preaching.
Absolutely.
Amen. In fact, Jesus told us in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. You got to keep moving. Keep this thing spreading. In zombie movies, the successful people always have a plan for where they're going to go. Sort of like our intro this morning. Where would you go in a zombie apocalypse? In the movies, they always have in mind, we're going to go to some other country where the zombies haven't reached yet. We're going to go to an island that'll be protected. They have a plan. Usually that works out better. Well, unfortunately, for the type of zombies we're talking about today, there isn't really any place here on Earth where we can go. There is no country that doesn't have zombies. But, fortunately, there is a place that we're all headed. There is a kingdom where he will wipe away every tear and death will be done away with. And that's where we're headed. You got to keep moving towards that. You got to keep that goal in mind as you live out your faith from day to day. You may be surrounded by darkness and zombies, but you got to keep moving. Don't give up. Keep pressing on towards the goal. You can't slow down. Don't look back. In Luke chapter 9, a man comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I want to follow you, but I need to go bury my dad first. And Jesus says to him in verse 60, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He told the man, get moving. Let the dead worry about dead things. We're talking about something that's alive. Amen. You got to keep moving forward. You can't look back. There's death behind you. Remember Lot's wife. She was doing good until she looked back. You were a zombie once. You've got to focus on what's ahead, the life that's ahead of you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, it says, but we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. We got to keep moving forward. You can't turn back. You got to turn away from what's behind you. Christ calls us to repent of dead works. That's what turning away is. We got to turn away from the death behind us to be fully alive in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, it says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We got to turn towards Jesus and keep moving towards him.
That's
right. So we have to repent of these dead works. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you too will all perish. Acts chapter 11, verse 18, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. That's us. As far as I know, we're all Gentiles. But God has granted even us repentance that leads unto life. All right. So you got to keep moving forward. You have to turn away from dead things and keep moving towards Christ. Now, you can't, once you've accepted Christ, that's not the end.
Amen.
As long as we're alive in this world, we can keep moving towards God. As Pastor Robert mentioned last week, it talks about in 1 Corinthians that we are being transformed from glory to glory.
Yes.
To glory. The first glory isn't the stopping point. God has much more for you. If you keep reaching out towards him, you've got to keep moving. Keep active in your faith. It may be major milestones like baptism. Have you been baptized? If not, what are you waiting for? Maybe once you've been baptized, have you received the Holy Spirit? Do you want to? Are you interested? Have you talked to God about that? Have you asked him about that? But it can also be just in our daily life, little steps that we move closer to Christ. In our daily Bible reading, being committed and reading the Word of God daily. In our prayer life, committing a time each day to be in communication with God. What is the next step for you? How do you move closer? Everyone in this room can move closer to God. And He wants us to be closer and closer to Him. Our model, a great model for this, is Paul the Apostle. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." You got to keep pressing on. Even he, this great apostle that wrote most of the books of the New Testament, even he could continue pressing on towards Jesus Christ. You can't look back at what's behind you. It's always in the movies, there's two people running from the zombies, and one of them stumbles, and the other one goes back to help him, and that's when the zombies get him. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying you can't help your brothers. In fact, that's what we're called to do, to lift each other up when we're being attacked. But your salvation, your standing with Christ, can't be dependent on anyone else's. You have to keep on moving towards Christ no matter what else is going on in your life. Don't let anything slow you down. We have to press on towards the goal. So remember these three things. Jesus is light in whom there is no darkness. If you abide in him, you'll remain in the light. Prepare yourself. You can prepare yourself by coming and talking to him. Every Sunday at the end of service, we open these altars so you can come and talk to God. That's a great way to prepare yourself for the week ahead. And keep moving closer. You can always reach out to him and grow closer to Jesus Christ. I'm about to open these altars. If you want special prayer, please gather close and I'll pray with you or one of the other pastors. But this is a great place to take that first step.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.